All right, it is Shock and Ship time. Thanks for listening. And we record this on May the 19th. Holy crap, how did we get here, Shock? And Mike has shaved his beard.
Easily the top storyline of this entire podcast.
Buried
and the I don't
lead.
Know, I was disappointed last week when it was just us three. And I said, yes, the people are finally going to see that other voice that they hear all the time. But he still found a way not to put it up. So
it now good the way, it looks good
no
the way
facial
I did
hair.
It looked good the way I did it. I was pretty happy with that.
You go say that regardless. Anyway, three people, four people.
I'm like the dude who what was in the Home Improvement, the guy that was always hidden behind the fence next
Wilson.
Door. Yeah. Just think of me. Just think of me as the Wilson of this podcast.
You know, I think there are some people that don't even think Mike's a real dude. They think I'm just doing impressions of some other guy. Just add Mike, like having split Mike, personalities.
Did you keep the beard hair? Because that had to be super long. Like you could have like
I did
charity or something.
I posted a picture of it on my social channels.
Oh, Let me go find these.
Yeah. DJ now follows me on Instagram because I tagged him in our because we were cooking. I was cooking dinner last night and or last weekend. And I tagged him because what were we making, DJ?
Oh, there is the hair. Look at that.
I tagged him because we were making scrimps.
Scrimps. No doubt.
Hashtag scrimps.
Scrimps with a K, baby. Look at all that hair right there, brother.
My wife said it like assembled itself in the sink in the same formation that it was on my face.
It didn't know what else to do.
Wes, your love is captured. It just says, we had a good run.
Very somber moment.
It will be back by the time we are sitting in the stands at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. It will be back by then. Maybe not in full glory, but at least a little bit of advanced stubble.
How quickly does that thing grow?
I would say it is a legit beard in 4 weeks.
So when did you start it?
Now this year is weird because I started the Friday before when our first home game would have been. So I started it late August, early September, when in reality we didn't play till later. So normally I started the week of the first game. That's when I started.
All right.
That is a monster beard.
So kind of a playoff hockey beard, but not really.
Yeah.
Wes, well, how thick can you get your beard?
You know, really,
can it grow?
I gave it a test run last spring during the, you know, just the thick of the pandemic, and I let it go for a couple months. It did not scratch the surface of what Mike had going on, but
it was pretty solid. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, I was like grooming it somewhat. But looking back on photos now, I just
was this like during the flannel sweatshirt days? I mean, was it
man, I can't remember.
It was before the flannel sweatshirt, but not much.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we did that pilot, that test run episode in, I guess, June.
It was like middle of June.
Y'all were giving me crap for wearing a flannel in summer. So yeah, it all lines up.
As well we should have.
That all lines up.
It made no sense. I don't care.
DJ, what about you? What can you do with your beard?
So here's what happens with this guy. This guy can get patchy. Now he'll come all the way in, but then he'll maybe stop like right here and then have a nice little patch. It'll grow in pretty nice.
Yeah.
Grow in pretty good over here. But this guy will get real patchy on me. You don't want to see the Apache on my face up here.
Who was the Shock when you were playing? Who could grow the best beard on the team?
Oh,
were y'all allowed to grow?
No, you remember when we couldn't have like hair out of the helmet? We always had to be clean shaven. That was the deal Coach Rick had, especially when he first got to Georgia. It was always everything's clean shaven, nothing out of the helmet. So nobody really had really long facial hair. Maybe a little bit of thickness, but nobody could ever grow it out like crazy. So
I feel like it's become more the beard, like, especially the big beards, have become more fashionable, like more accepted, especially in certain parts of the country.
I think so.
Yeah.
I always wished I could just try to grow one at one time, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't think my wife would like it because she's seen me this.
My wife loves mine. My wife would rather have me with the beard than without the beard.
So you cut it off because it was about to be, it's going to be 90 degrees.
Because it's hot. Because it's going to get hot.
It's already getting hot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Maria Taylor was in town, last week for graduation. Yeah.
She gave a little small speech for graduation, yeah, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So she was in our office either the day before or the day of, and she was shooting. Holy cow, will you look at that bottle of water.
Staying hydrated, fellas.
Whoa.
I'm staying hydrated.
So she was doing an interview with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar via Zoom, and she was in our office over in Millage. Kareem was at his house, and I believe they're naming some social activism award after him for the NBA or something.
I saw that because it came on the next day on NBA TV or whatever.
And she was here in town, and the NBA was like, this is when we're doing it. So she had to do it. So they had a camera crew that came up. So they were doing it from our office, and they were having some trouble getting the Zoom going. And they asked me if I could help. And so I'm sitting there, I'm helping. I got my mask on. This is before they had killed the mask rule too. And I'm sitting there trying to do this and I couldn't do it. My mask is slipping up over my face, my beard. Oh my gosh, and I was like, I'm done. The beard's done today. I've hit the wall. And that's usually how it goes. Every year I will reach a point at which something will happen and I will hit the wall on it. And it'll be gone the next morning.
Ultimate breaking point, huh?
Yeah.
So did Kareem see you fighting with your mask or no?
Kareem did not see me fight. All I saw was the you're in the waiting room for Kareem, son. I did not see Kareem. But Maria let my two of my interns sit in there with her and do it, which was kind of cool.
Nice. Oh, that's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not all the time you get to see Kareem on your screen and you don't let him. So
No, I mean the fact that you even saw his name feels incredible.
It's kind of big. It's kind of big. I remember back, man, when I was a kid and you had to watch the NBA, it was on CBS and they would tape delay a lot of it. And like if you're watching the finals, usually only the finals was live and they would put it on at like 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night because they were playing out in LA. And it was it's a completely different animal than it is right now.
Yeah. What's the network that carried a sport that just seems unreal today? To me, it's the NBA being on NBC. Like, it was such an institution at the time, but now I don't even know. I don't even know what it would look like.
The Olympics, the first time the Olympics were on something besides ABC. Because ABC had the Olympics locked down forever. Wow. And then CBS broke through. And now people don't even remember ABC had the Olympics. Because, you talk like Munich in 1972, the whole thing with Jim McKay and the hostages and everything.
Yeah.
That's history. But now people forget. It wasn't always just on NBC, which I think is kind of weird.
And I can remember that music that they always played. And I think Marv is about to retire, right? Marv out.
Marv's going to do I think he's going to do that play-in series. I think he's done. I think he's done.
Man, I don't know. I wouldn't want to go out on the play-in series, but.
Yeah.
What is Marv, 80?
All I know is Marv has spent his cash on really, really nice rugs.
Rugs.
Because that is a solid toupee for an old man.
Yeah.
That is a solid toupee for an old man.
Oh, man. How about NBC giving up the rights to the Masters because they didn't see it being a big deal?
Yeah.
Who was at the head of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't have a job anymore for sure.
I remember when like a regular PGA Tour event would be on ABC. They don't do that anymore, obviously.
Yeah.
They got out right before Tiger got in too, I think. It overlapped a little bit. It's still weird for me, and they fixed it this year. But those 3 or 4 years at the US Open Golf was on Fox.
Fox.
I was just like, no, sorry, can't do
that. That did not compute in my mind
no,
either.
No.
You guys gonna pick this weekend? You gonna let me win again or what? Pick who you got.
Pick correctly last time?
I did. I was the highest finisher. I did. Thank you. Thank you, Wes. Yeah. Don't be mad. Don't be angry. I see.
Block that out of my mind.
Yeah. So
Don't be that way.
Yeah, you go ahead. You can pick the golf this week. It's windy.
It's windy.
Yeah. And hot.
Fast and firm. Although, you know, you get the late afternoon showers out there, might cool it off.
I don't know if it's supposed to go with terrain. But go ahead, Chuck.
I'm gonna go with a young gun.
Okay.
Everybody's picking Rory. Everybody's picking Justin. I'm going with a young gun.
Those guys aren't exactly old, but go ahead.
they old compared to these guys.
All right.
Yeah. You saw the V.
Yeah.
I'm going with Victor. Victor Hoblin, man. I think.
Yeah. Go Pokes, baby. Go Pokes.
Yeah. I saw.
I don't know if he's got the short game for that course.
But I was watching it today.
So, I know.
He said his short game has gotten better.
Yeah,
he's never missed a cut in a major.
I'm not gonna bag on my fellow Oklahoma State guy.
No,
I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can.
Well, won't you just go
the way that the greens are at that course? You do have to have the short game. You got to stick it up there because they're all raised off of this. I mean, none of the holes, they're all nondescript. They all kind of look the same. But if
they show one hole. It didn't matter if you hit it in maybe you had to hit it on one spot of the green for the ball to stay on the green. Everything else will fall off back, front, side. I was like, come on, man, that's crazy. Mm. And then it's supposed to be 7,800 yards. Come on, who planned? Come on, that's ridiculous.
By the way, not to be Homer here, but both the men and the women advanced to the NCAA championship.
I saw that
in Arizona.
Yeah.
Women won their regional, men finished second in their regional, and they play, I think, back to back at the same course in Arizona next week. So that's kind of cool.
I saw that tweet because what scared me is I saw Coach Hack maybe might have been last week or something. He was saying, we haven't been playing as good. I don't think we're, you know, in our best shape right now. And I saw the tweet, might have been today, about him winning. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's right up there. That's Lou Holtz being like, we're really terrified of the University of the Naval Academy this weekend.
Man.
I just see our streak continuing. We had Hack on, and look, they're having some postseason success. So, yeah. Real quick, my PGA pick, I'm going to go with Morikawa.
Ooh. Colin.
Yeah.
He's going to young gun.
Back to back.
Pressure's on, Mike. Pressure's on, Mike. You're going to stay young or you're going to go medium? No. What do you got? You're going to go with like a Bubba Watson? You know Bubba can hit it in any weather.
I know.
Because he's going to throw it all right.
You know what? I'm going to go in a different direction.
Okay.
No, I ain't picking Webb Simpson. I'm sorry. No offense to Webb Simpson, but that's like picking a pair of chinos to win something. I got nothing for him, man. That's like, what kind of ice cream you want, vanilla? I'm going to pick the Englishman.
Okay.
Tyrrell Hatton. And as I said this, it just occurred to me, I don't even know if he's qualified for the field. So we're going to do a little looking here.
No, he is.
And
if he isn't, we're going to edit. Yeah.
If he is.
No, you're locked in. You're locked in at Tyrrell Hatton.
I'm locked in.
Here's how I know, because I did a little – you guys know I love golf. So I did a little research on these golfers. Mm-hmm. And Tyrrell Hatton was in my top four. So it says he played a lot on the European tour. He's got 5 top 10s in majors and can handle the conditions. Yep. So when I read that, I was like,
so you got to like that pick then, DJ.
I do like the conditions. No doubt. I mean, that's not even talking about.
I do like your Hovland pick.
He's always knocking on the door.
I'll tell you what, he wins that. I'm sending you an Oklahoma State shirt to wear next week.
How about Bubba's shoes this week? Did y'all see
the Jordans? The Jordan 4s.
Seersuckers.
Seersucker Jordan 4s.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, dude. They're tight.
You got Seersucker J's?
Yep.
The pink Seersucker.
Man. Yep. Yep.
The right, 4s. I spell them F-O-R-E.
There you go. That's it. Well done. Well done.
Just hoping so Bubba will see
is
it.
He, is he with, if he with Jordan or no?
I think just the shoes. I don't think it's like he's not like
clothes, right? Yeah.
He like Harold Varner is like top to bottom.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Keegan Bradley.
Keegan Bradley. If somebody could explain to me the Keegan Bradley Michael Jordan, I have no idea what that is.
I don't know.
And it's been that way for like 50. Keegan Bradley ain't
a little weird with them all.
Keegan Bradley and I have the same number of wins on tour in the last 15 years, and he got the Jordan deal. So I want to know what's going on there. You know who else does is English dude that went to Northwestern, plays out of Chicago. Luke, I can't remember his name. But he's an English dude. He's got a Jordan deal too.
Luke Donald.
Yeah, Luke Donald's got a Jordan.
No way.
Wow. Yes, he does. I swear to God.
That's tough. That is tough.
Donald. What?
Yeah.
Bubba. Bubba's got some weird gear. I remember
he used to be Oakley. He used to have a lot of Oakley.
Yeah, Oakley. And
that's why you see him Oakley all the time.
Ping driver is cool, but he would wear these gloves, and I think they've kind of caught on, but he wore these gloves from like Japan, and they were like always like the oddest colors. Like, and it wasn't just the Masters. Like
he plays with like the Day Glow ball now too.
Yeah.
He plays with like the bright yellow ball now. And everything.
Maybe that's why. I mean, obviously he's a 2-time Masters winner, but maybe that's the kind of like X factor that is appealing to Jordan. Cause they're like, Bubba will wear anything, but we don't, you know, we'll put pink Seersucker out there. Bubba will wear
kind of a trendsetter, does things mm-hmm. a little different his own way, you know,
made his own freaking swing, man. I mean,
yeah.
And it works. That's all that matters. having your own lane. And Bubba is in his own freaking lane. So I like it. I'll rock some Seersucker J's if somebody gave them to me, too.
What, too?
Ain't nobody else on tour wearing no Seersucker J's with the bows on. Ain't that right, Wes?
Hey, I would wear those things if I had Bubba's resume, no doubt.
Just think about how nice those would be if you like actually had like a Seersucker suit. And then you wore the J's with the suit.
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, wearing the Jordans golf course, already that's pretty nasty. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have the guts to go high top Jordan.
Yeah, that was my thing. I think if I'm going to do it, I've seen a lot of people, they go with the 11s, the low top, the Concords.
Yeah.
And – I feel like that I've got that, and I've got the people. I've seen some Air Max. I have some Air Max golf shoes that I really love.
Yeah, I got like some of those 272 golf shoes.
I forgot about those. Those are nice.
Yeah,
nice. This turned into like the Nike golf podcast.
Hey, you really never know what you're going to get. Last week was just us all barbecue.
Yeah.
The low top 11 golf shoes look sick though.
The low top 11, they're impossible to find.
Oh, but yeah. the only ones that you can wear that would be high would be the ones, the good old classic ones. I see a lot of guys with those on the golf course.
I have some low top ones, just sneakers. Ooh. They're pretty nice.
I love the fours.
Look like dunks.
Yeah, they're very much like dunks.
Ooh, I like those. I like those. I'm a fan. I am perusing the scene now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Father's Day is coming up, you know.
So Bubba is low Jordan. We're going to pick Bubba. Bubba is a low Jordan guy. And although Harold Varner, he's North Carolina. It's kind of his territory. He could go low.
It's just such, you know, there's not going to be much rain, but it's like a wide open course. It looks like a Lynx course, like almost like you're in Scotland, but you just don't know what the wind is going to do. John Rahm was complaining about that.
Oh, I saw that.
It feels like
how can you say a course can play 1500 yards or less depending on the wind? That's unbelievable.
It is.
Like, if the wind picks up, the plays so much longer.
Let me ask you guys about this. And usually it comes up when we talk about the U.S. Open, but it, you know, with the PGA, it's still going to come up this week, especially. Do you want to see it to just be, do you want it to be absolutely brutal? Or do you want these guys to be able to go out and shoot 4 or 5 under? Because I want it to be a damn mess.
I want it brutal. I want to see these guys being human. That we see them on all these other courses where it's not as brutal, and these dudes look like it make it look too easy. And that's when I'm like, I'm playing golf tomorrow, and I go out and I don't do that. So,
right,
I want to see them struggle a little bit.
Yeah, it's for a couple of reasons, like you said, Shock. Like you want to watch it and it kind of feel relatable, like. I watched the no laying up guys video about and that's like what you want. Like, okay, that's what I would do. I want to see what the pros would do, and if they are playing like that as well, then it's a little bit more entertaining. But yeah, it's a major. You know, week in and week out, you're seeing these final scores on the board, leaders of like 19 under. You know, and that's not what you're tuning into a major for.
Yeah, I saw a tweet where I can't remember who it was, but it was that par three where it's like 240 over the water. And I think one of the guys was saying, I refuse to hit a 3-wood out of principle because I don't want to hit a 3-wood on a dang par three.
I think Brandon Todd did one yesterday. He hit a 3-wood and birdie.
I understand that.
He was like, yeah, man, you got to do what you got to do. You got to play it like it is.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, with the way those greens kind of poke up, you're less likely to stick it on there. And that's why they're ticked, but it's there for a reason, you know, and Rory didn't have any trouble back in 2012.
Yeah. So. He had it going though, man. You go back and you look at the replay of that thing. Woo! He had it going.
He won by like 8 strokes or something crazy like that.
Yeah. All right, Wes, let's go to a break and get our guests in there.
Get out of here, Wes.
All right. Coming up, we got some fan favorites, Dantzler and Johnston, two DGDs coming up on Shock and Chip. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back into Shock and Chip. Jeff Dantzler, Dave Johnston, and DJ Shockley. There's a couple DJs.
Yeah, man.
Pretty sweet. Guys, right in the just the thick of this baseball hype as we roll into the postseason for the Dogs, a couple games with Ole Miss coming up. What is going on the diamond for our Georgia Bulldogs, guys?
DJ, why don't you lead us off on that one?
I wasn't sure. I see your ear.
He's listening. He was just listening.
A big listener. Yeah, this is a big series coming up this weekend against Ole Miss. And then we've got at least one game in the SEC tournament next Tuesday, and hopefully more than that. If we win,
we'll
get a couple of more games at least. But need to depend on what you think and the history of what teams get into the NCAA regional or a regional. Georgia right now sitting at 12-15 in the conference. And if they win 2 out of 3 this weekend against a very good Ole Miss team, you'd be 14-16 in the SEC, even though you have a losing record in the conference. I think the prevailing thought is that you would get a regional bid. Auburn got a regional bid a couple of years ago at 14-16, and they ended up going to the College World Series. So the strength of schedule in the SEC is huge, but Georgia still has some work to do. Last night was it was big in that you want to beat Tech, you want to beat your arch rival, but it was also tough to, you know, not win that game last night. I mean, that was a crusher. Jeff and I were talking earlier today, and we were both saying, man, I just woke up today and just hated that. Just didn't feel good. And nothing we can do about it now except play some good baseball this weekend against Ole Miss.
Well, I think go ahead, DJ.
No, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, and I was going to say the thing that's so exciting about it, too, is that Josh Brooks made the announcement, I guess it was a week ago or so, that we're going to have full capacity now, which is awesome for the weekend. And it certainly is great foreboding looking ahead towards the fall. So that's some of the best news we've gotten in a long time. And We're just so thankful and grateful to be playing this year. And this team, like so many teams, has had to overcome a slew of injuries. And, but last year we only played 18 games. So, essentially, you played a third to a fourth of a season. And, shock, I know talking with you and Kevin Butler before the football season, you guys both predicted that there would be more injuries because there was no spring practice. You were off on your normal preseason routine. And when you think about just getting the body back in shape for baseball, and I'm sure we're seeing it in the majors as well, that's been a huge factor around the country this year.
Jeff, you hit on something that I was just about to ask you about. And I think it's probably, yeah, the players are important. The coaches are important. Yeah, they have a big interest in what's going on the field. But you guys have another interest that I think a lot of people love, which is the fans. You talk about the fans being back in the stadium. That's going to be awesome. But in my research, I saw you guys, obviously, you guys answer a lot of tweets during the game. But also, you guys have some really cool nicknames from people who call in, like a Fireball Rodney and Strap Dog and Miss Jean, the music teacher. I mean, what are some of the other cool nicknames that you guys like? Because obviously, you guys interact with the fans as best as anybody.
Boy, we're going to leave somebody out. I mean, we got we got the Skrilla Dog. We got Effingham. We've got RDU Dog from up in Raleigh, Durham. We got Atlee from over in Atlanta. I mean, we got many fans. And so we started a few years ago going, hey, let us know when those in. And again, guys like Skrilla Dog or Craig from Gainesville or Lynn from Effingham, and they're letting us know where they're listening from. But the amazing thing is, guys, we're getting the first weekend this year, first game, we had 25 different states tweet us. And wow. I think the last full season, 2019, we had, I think it was 7 different countries tweet us. So it was just, it was really unbelievable. But that just shows, you know, like we say, the power of the G and the wide range that we have going to so many different diehard Georgia fans in so many different places around the country and around the world. It's been awesome. And it's been a great way to interact, and we love it. So we always love rolling through the tweets, just seeing who's listening. We always say this is the new form of CB radio. So who's got their ears on out there, and where are you listening in from?
Jeff, you ever get any people from Coffeetown at all? Anybody from that area ever get in touch with you?
Yeah, you name it. I mean, from all over. I mean, we get it from all over the state. And again, I think I'll have to check the list. We hadn't been home in a couple of weeks, but I think we're at 34 states this year and 5 or 6 different countries. But we love the interaction. We get some fun stuff. And one of the things that Dave brought up, we're both dog lovers and we both have our dogs. And people started tweeting in pictures of their dogs as well. So that's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do keep waiting for the radio guy from Coffeetown, but we haven't heard from him yet. So we hope that may happen soon.
You know, he's probably at a Coffeetown baseball game himself. So do you guys feel like the nature of the pandemic? Obviously, you can't replace the fans that physically couldn't be in attendance, but did you guys see a little bit more of that social media interaction this season? Did you notice it, like an uptick in that? Because it seems like the way that we are, you know, certainly reporting on sports, you know, all these availabilities are over Zoom. People are home more. How much do you think give and take there was because of the pandemic and potentially an uptick in how many fans are interacting with you over social media?
Yeah, when Chip Towers started asking us some questions about the broadcast, he said that one of the reasons that he got interested in or what piqued his interest was the fact that he hadn't been to as many games himself. He'd been covering or not covering as many games, so he'd been listening to more on the radio. And he said that's when he started to kind of notice some of the things that we do on the air. And then other people have told us too. And Wes, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, people aren't being able to get into the stadium as easily, haven't been able to get to many games, and they've been listening more. And then they've also been interacting more. And we see, like we said, people's dogs, which we love to see. We encourage people to show us like their man cave or their bulldog cave, those kind of things. And that's been really interesting too. But I think there's definitely been, as you said, like an uptick in what we're seeing on social media. And it's got to the point too. And it's not just baseball, but it's all the sports. We're not just the radio guys, but it's a brand that we're trying to kick out there too. And social media is a big part of it, because most of the people that are listening to us aren't listening the old timey way on a radio. They're listening through their phone, or listening through their laptop or their iPod or whatever it is. So they're all listening to us from what would be connected from some kind of social media form. So yeah, we do appreciate that.
Yeah, there's already such a community with the G, like you said, Jeff. Like, you guys have that built already for you. You might as well tap into it. And I think there is, with baseball specifically, there's something calming about just some of the silence that comes into the call, that a lot of sports are, it'd be uncomfortable to hear silence. But I think if you're going to fill that silence, interacting with your fans through this gateway that really hasn't been used up until right now, or at least the way that you guys are using it, I think is just a wonderful thing. And hopefully it's here to stay, because I love how it makes fans feel like they are truly part of the game. It's really neat.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
No, it's very kind of you to say. And you know, another thing too, I think for so many of us, baseball, it's kind of the soundtrack to the summertime. And you know, whether you're listening to a game at the beach, at the lake, or swimming. And one of the things, like Dave was saying, we have folks say they're listening to us if they're doing yard work, if they're playing golf. And it's really, you know, it's a cool thing. And so I think when you think about that soundtrack to the summertime, it's nice and calming. And I think there is something Norman Rockwell Americana like that.
Jeff and Dave, we want to thank you guys for coming on the show, because Mike told us every time that you guys touch the airwaves, there are tons of people listening. So thank you for giving us more listener viewership here today on Shock and Ship.
Yeah, we're getting a boost.
He told us about you guys' impromptu podcast while you guys were driving to a game one time, which he said got great big numbers because people love listening to you. And I think, Jeff, I think you may have more jobs than I do. I mean, I'm talking about so many things that you got going on. Mike always gives me crap about all the different things I'm doing. But I mean, golly, you've been doing some stuff for a long time. What has been the best part? Obviously, you've had a chance to cover a bunch of great games and, you know, see a lot of great athletes. What's been the best part of this job that you're able to do year in and year out?
I just think it's a camaraderie, and I've said outside of my parents, I've loved the Georgia Bulldogs longer than anything in my life. So just to be around it and to be a very tiny part of the University of Georgia, a place I love so much, and the Bulldogs who I love so much, and have made so many great friends through the years, and just so many incredible memories. And we all love the wins and the victories and the championships, but you know, DJ, you're one of the best we've ever had. You know this. It's the journey where things are really special. And I even think about so many different stories. DJ and I were both speaking in Augusta a few years ago, and my wife is very what I would call camera shy. And so I said, well, you're either coming and sitting at the main table with us, and everybody's going to recognize you, or you've got to sit at a table with like 15 people you don't know. So begrudgingly, she came and sat with us. And of course, I introduced her, and she turned as red as Shock's Georgia football helmet. So DJ and I were up talking and doing our thing. And DJ's son was there. What was it? Was he about 4 or 5?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he probably was about 4 then. Yeah.
Well, so Emily and DJ's son were sitting there eating their chicken and their pie. And DJ's little boy had a little gash. And yeah. he slipped one out, and Emily, and she's a school teacher, they kind of looked at each other, and the two of them got the biggest grin and just started. And we talk about that all the time.
Oh man, I never forget. That was so funny.
Making daddy proud there, Shock.
When he gets married, you could use that at his wedding. When he gets married one day,
letting loose, man. This dude, now we can't stop him letting loose now.
Hey, Dave, I want to ask you. You know, one of the things that was interesting about this season is, you know, we've got a sponsorship with the BMW folks, and JD's been gifted a sweet ride with a, it's got an expiration date on it. We don't quite know what it is yet, but it's got an expiration date on it.
JD's like, what? I ain't heard about that.
So you guys have been driving around. You went back and forth to Gainesville in this machine last week. Although we know the Germans, BMW makes a very safe automobile. Did you feel like you were taking your life in your hands with JD behind the wheel of that thing?
So Jeff usually gets driving duties anyway. Sometimes we split it up, but he usually gets driving duties because I think he likes to just take command of the car. So I'm good with that. I usually try to navigate. Jeff and I have the best conversations, and DJ, you were nice. You guys were nice enough to mention that, you know, people for years have been saying, oh, you need to podcast your conversations. So we actually really did try it this year. And it's actually been a lot of fun, and it helps the drive there a little bit. Now, granted, some of the stuff that we do talk about probably can't go on the podcast, but most of it is good. And we had a lot of fun with that. But the BMW we had this past weekend, I think Jeff is still in it. He's not going to give it back. Like Mike said, his expiration date has a big question mark beside it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really like that. Jeff and I just hitting the road, and it's driving all over the SEC is one of the things.
JD,
I really
does JD ever let you drive? Does he let you even get behind the wheel of his monster?
Well, this past weekend, I didn't want to be responsible for anything that happened. Since this car was more expensive than a lot of our houses, I just decided I'd let Jeff do all the driving.
So this is pretty funny. So we're down between Fort Valley and Macon. And, you know, this thing. So
we're down, like, going down to Gainesville.
Yes.
So we're coming back, and it's, you know, you're doing 94, and it feels like you're doing 30. Like if I drove my car that fast, apart. So DJ, you know, we're sending pictures back to our friends and all this, and Dave goes like, "Oh, we're doing." We came out on a little straight. He goes, "Hey, get this thing up over 100 on this straightaway." 103.
Dave said, "Open it up."
You got on the wild side,
ain't you, DJ? Yeah.
We're going to do an episode. We're going to basically remake the Cannonball Run, and it's going to be these two guys, and they're going to go straight through all the way to Omaha.
That's right. Yeah.
Mike, check your phone. I would send it to DJ and Chip, but I don't have their numbers. I just sent you a little picture.
So Smokey and the Bandit came out 44 years ago today. So you guys are just living the legacy.
Yes.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
I'm just picturing you guys going 105 past Lane's Peach Orchard.
That's about it. Yeah.
Well, there's a new truck stop that's kind of catching everybody's attention called
Bucky's. The Buckies.
Oh, Buckies.
So we had to stop.
Oh, that's Mike's place right there. Yeah.
So there's a Buckies in Fort Valley. I think that's where it is. So that was where we were going. And here's the thing, too. We didn't know if we were going to be able to get gas last week, you know, because all that stuff was kind of up in the air. We're like, well, if we get stranded on the side of the road, at least we're in the right kind of car to not have any gas. So we were good with that.
Yeah.
plenty of entertainment options in the BMW.
Yes.
The rear view camera is in 4K, so you guys just turn that thing 4K. On.
How does it know all that stuff? That's the crazy thing.
What's the best road trip? So like all these SEC stops, okay? You're going to Gainesville. I'm pulling up Fayetteville.
I'm sure you guys got some terrible Columbia boots on the way, too.
So our longest drive is Asheville. Lexington.
Okay. Yeah.
So longest drive is Lexington and Gainesville. Jeff, is that the second longest or is it Oxford? I guess.
Yes, they're right at Gainesville, Oxford, and Starkville.
Right about the same. Yeah.
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 But no, they're all fun. And the thing too, like, football is life and death, and it is all business. Now, you know, baseball or basketball, we want to win, but it's you can get past.
You're not going to go undefeated.
There's a lot of games.
There's a lot of games, and I've always said for our fans, hey, if you want to take it, like, come to Athens on a baseball and tennis weekend, or if you really want to see a town like Oxford, you know, go out when Georgia's playing baseball. But as far as Nashville's a great city, Baton Rouge has got the best food, and Oxford is just so much fun. It's kind of the classic college town. So those are probably my favorites, but we have such a great time on the road, and just it's relaxing, and we love what we do in our SID, Christopher Lako. So we always have our good Friday lunches and Saturday night dinners and just love it.
And also, Coach Strickland has been great to work with, too. He's mm-hmm. been awesome. So that certainly helps the experience. He's not that he's riding in the car with us or anything, but just the stuff. And this year's been – it's been different. We weren't allowed to travel with the team for the first couple of road trips, and we finally got back with the team once we got vaccinated. So we've had to do – Jeff had to fly to Chicago to go to Columbia, Missouri, and we both had to fly – separately to get to College Station, which you've never had to do before. So we get it. I mean, it's part of what we're going through right now, but it's definitely been different this season for sure.
Fellas, I've had the chance to be in some of these different booths around the SEC, and some are not up to par as others. Would this be the same thing in the baseball world?
Well, Jeff and I are both thinking the same thing as far as the worst booth. Yes,
Missouri.
They're like 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Hey, when you brought up, by the way, driving, when Dave said not that Coach Strickland's riding in the car with us, that does jog my memory. This would have been about 1997. Luckily, we won, but we didn't play great. But the Lady Dogs, we had beaten Auburn. Again, we didn't play great. And Coach Landers was – he had the red, you know what. And I'd driven over there. I was going to stop off in Atlanta, you know, see a couple of friends. He goes, I'm riding back with you. I'd driven separate. So. Stop off in Atlanta. We drove back from Auburn to Athens, but that was one where I was just so thankful we had won. But that was a good, just having him unload just one-on-one was pretty darn fun.
Yeah, how do you remember so much stuff? I read a story where Coach Strickland was in a restaurant and you walked in and he just asked you a random question and you knew the answer of the right guard on the 83 football team. Like, how do you remember so much stuff? I mean,
DJ, that's easy for Jeff. Come on.
That was a softball, huh?
That was a softball question. Absolutely.
Yeah, anything from the 80s. When you're younger, it's what you love. You don't have as many things stressing you out. You know, money's not a problem. School's not hard. You know, you don't have girlfriend issues yet. And I think for anybody, the sports you love, when you're kind of in that 10, 11 years old, that's what you're going to love for your whole life. I was 8 in 1980. So you talk about being born right into it and spoiled, but those are some glory days. So yeah, that's easy pickings, anything from back then. But you know, Dave and I talk about this. I can tell you everything about the 80s, but you asked me what happened, 2 weeks ago, and it might be a bit more of a grind.
Definitely.
Yeah, there was a tweet from the Athletics account today actually said, what's your first memory of cheering on the Dogs? And Shockley got a lot of love, obviously. But, being 8 years old and seeing Georgia win the Natty, hard to top that.
Well, I've always said, people like – we got asked by – David, I joke about this, had an administrator, he's a really good guy, go, how long have you been with us? And I was like, well, since the 78 Tech game. That's one of my first memories. We won 29-28 with a great comeback. But yeah, it's that it is amazing though, how sports, it's the memories there, and sports is the great unifier. And you think how many people Georgia football brings together, Georgia athletics brings together. It really is an awesome thing. That's why it was so important to play this past fall and to crank everything up. And now again, to know that we're going to be at full capacity for Ole Miss this weekend in baseball. It's awesome for baseball. It's awesome for Georgia. And it's certainly got everybody excited thinking about having 95,000 of your closest friends together in the fall.
Yeah. Seeing that 7:30 kick time announced for Georgia Clemson. I mean, all eyes in the college football universe will be on that one. So that's all
the record.
Right,
and for the record, that got released, and 4 hours later, I got my first hey guy.
Of course. Yeah. But I was actually going to ask you after the show, Mike. So. Yeah.
I was telling Jeff earlier today, I said, it wasn't surprising that game is at night, but didn't it just getting a kickoff time, it's like, it was awesome.
Yeah. When ESPN did that little promo with all those games that are on that week, on that Labor Day weekend, I was crazy. Just like, oh man, I'm not going to lie. I got a little chill bump.
I know. Especially thinking about this time last year. Oh, the season's going to be canceled. We're not going to play. Yeah. And to have this stuff here in May, it's awesome.
All right. I want to get shot. We're down 28-21, 2002, in the 31-28 victory. Check down on third and about eight from what, about the 20-yard line to Terrence Edwards for the TD on the slant to tie it up. What was the play call there?
Fear. That's what it was for me. I was dead scared. It was a mirror call for us where both sides run slants, and then he had a single high safety. And my read is basically, if it's a single high safety, you find a guy that you're going to win. And for me, Terrence was the guy who kind of recruited me to come to Georgia. And he always told me whenever I was finna come in the game, if you ever get confused, if you ever – not sure where to go with it, just find me. And that was one of those spots where I knew it was single high, and I knew I had slants on both sides. Mirror routes, so Kodrick didn't make it hard for me. He said, hey, it's going to be an easy read. Find the best guy. Hit Terrence on the slant. He won. He knew I was coming to him, so he beat his guy pretty good and walked into the end zone. But that was crazy. That was a good play, though. Fun time. Fun times.
Great, man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Hey, before you guys go, I got you guys a question. You guys talked about on the road, you guys obviously
in road the booth. Road trip snacks.
Tons of snacks, tons of stuff
went to you guys Buc-ee's, like to eat. But we might have to go ahead and ask your question, but we may have to. Hey,
before you ask, they did tell us the next one in Georgia is going to be in Calhoun.
Oh.
So just a little, we got that tidbit from someone working.
Breaking news.
Breaking
exactly.
News.
Right here first. Exactly.
Show. Well, Dave, I'm going to start with you with this question. You love snacks. Obviously, I know you love candy. Are you a fan of candy corn at all?
No.
Ha! One down.
I like candy corn. I'm okay with it.
Oh. Hey, there you go.
House divided.
House divided.
But did Lady, you when you went Lady to when you bought when you went to Buc-ee's, did you get the beaver nuggets?
No, I got a turkey sandwich.
So they have like a confection there. I want to say it's like popcorn, beaver, but it's like nuggets. deep fried, and it's kind of vanilla flavored, and they're called beaver nuggets. Fantastic. If you're going down 75 and you go to the Buc-ee's, trust me.
So beaver nuggets, you got all four food groups in one. You're golden.
They're corn puffs, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll remember that for the next one. But when I hear beaver nuggets, my mind goes to a different place. Yeah, I get a little scared.
Yeah.
I'm with Jane. It's okay. This is a family show.
And it's not, and exactly. It's definitely not the worst thing we've ever discussed on this
podcast. Oh, Lord. No.
That's
no,
good
no.
to know.
No. Well, yeah, hey, Andy for everyone Korn is that okay. Yeah. See,
even like those little the little pumpkins that have the same taste.
Ooh, see, that's where we're gonna lose you, Dave. Uh-oh. I don't know about the pumpkins.
I'm okay with
I think
pumpkins.
the best candy in history is the Reese's peanut butter egg that comes out around Easter.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna disagree.
The bunny, regular cup.
The bunny. There's a bunny one too, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. That was like the giant bunny.
There's a Santa. There's a Reese's Santa.
There you go.
Yep.
That's outrageous.
Love it.
All right, I got to eat dinner. Let's wrap this up.
Jeff, Dave, for all the fans that aren't already sending you their dogs and man caves, where can they follow you?
Okay, D Johnston UGA is where I am in the Twitterverse. And Jeff, you've got TV on the end of yours.
Yes, I'm at Jeff Dantzler TV. And always, okay, of course, we're getting close to our marker 7 first pitch. I always tag Dave in it too. And Dave always comes up second on mine in my tweets. He's right below Novak Djokovic.
Which I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of pissed about that.
Because he's got the DJO. DJO with the Joe. I'm like, oh, DJ, look, you're right below Novak Djokovic.
All right. That's and then
good company, man.
Yeah. One last thing. We need a PGA pick.
Okay.
So we're letting everybody know here. I picked Victor. Wes, picked, you went with
Morikawa.
Morikawa, and Mike went with
Tyrrell Hatton.
Whoa. I like that.
So the pressure's on you two guys.
I will say, since I'm with two DJs, if healthy, uh-oh, Dustin, uh-oh, Johnson.
Yeah. Good pick.
It's amazing. He's only the number one player. None of us picked him.
A South Carolina guy.
I know. He went to Coastal Carolina. Yep. You know, he's from the South. If healthy, I'll go DJ.
And I'll go with Justin Thomas. Jeff and I were actually talking about him earlier today, too. It's hard to win the Players' Championship and the PGA in the same season, but they're both on the coast this time on the Atlantic, mm-hmm, seaboard there.
Yeah.
And it kind of sets up for him. So that's kind of who I like this weekend. But I think the DJ pick, depending on how bad – you need a kind of a backup pick, Jeff, because DJ – Got that weird knee. Sorry, y'all.
There's Kingsley.
The King Man. He's getting excited.
Yeah, you never know when DJ is going to fall down some stairs or something. That's right.
Coincidentally, right? Just happens like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, Charleston's just up the road there, so I'm going to my boy Brian Harmon, sweet swing.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, man.
Old lefty. Old lefty.
Dogs. Yes. All right, guys. Jeff, Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show. Love your stories, and definitely hope you have a lot more trips in that BMW coming up.
Hey, you guys are great to have us. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, followers are up today, baby. Let's go.
That's right. All of our new followers, hit subscribe and rate the show. Leave us a comment, and we'll catch you next time.